Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fregimani. I'm your host, as usual, telling you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And it's a big week this week with Detroit to L.A. as the day I'm recording this, Tuesday, the 23rd of July. That show is at 7:30 p.m. and you'll go to our website at comedycastle.com to get those tickets. We've also got an open mic on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And that's a fun show, open mic. It's cheap to get in. You can probably just show up at the door, get your ticket. If you got a big group, you might want to call the club. But, yeah, open mic's always fun. Some amateurs, some professionals. I believe my student, Gina Joy Romer. Gina Mackey, I think, might be her stage name. She's the MC for the first time. See, first time MC on Wednesday. Should be cool. And then we got Brian Simpson in this weekend. Brian is a veteran of both the L.A. and Austin comedy scenes and has been on television with David Spade. He's been on Netflix. He's been on David Letterman's Netflix show as well. His comedy special was live from the Mothership. That's Austin. We're going to talk about the Mothership on this show. And the opening acts are Trey Stewart as your feature and Genevieve Clinton, your MC. Genevieve's the guest today. I should have mentioned that. Did I bury the lead by not mentioning that Genevieve is the guest? You might have saw that when you clicked on this show and said, I want to listen to this show. Yeah, because Genevieve's on it. And you picked a good show to listen to because she's great. We'll talk about Genevieve in a second. But yeah, with Brian, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 25th. Two shows Friday, the 26th, 7:15 and 9:45. And of course, 7 p.m. and 9:30 are your Saturday shows, the 27th. So come out to see Brian Simpson. I don't believe he's been at our club before. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, I might be. I don't know. And then there is a benefit for the Kitty Cafe. I know very little about this. There is some information. It is supporting Rosie's Kitty Cafe. So it is a fundraising show with Melanie Hearn, Keith Lenart, and Bo Lerner as your comics. I like all three of those folks. I sure do. And that'll be on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. if you want to support a fun cause. You can go have some coffee and hang out with a kitten. They put the good kittens on this flyer, I got to say. Make comedycastle.com looking at everything that's going on, and he's on there. So, yeah, we got Genevieve this weekend. She's the MC with Brian Simpson. Now, I will tell you, Genevieve was a very special guest last week with Sam Talent. And what a great show, a great weekend that Sam put on there. I believe His debut at the Comedy Castle as a working comedian. He was a guest last year in front of Nick Mullen. And he did just an incredible job headlining. Super funny guy. Great personality. And tons of fans. You know, he's got a thing going that every comedian hopes for. He's got loyal fans that come to see him. And that Thursday show, if you were at the Thursday show last week, my goodness, that was all wall-to-wall fans, which is cool. Because sometimes you get to your Friday, Saturday shows, and even a guy like Sam who's got fans, you have people on their, you know, their dates. You got people doing the birthday party at the club, and that's all great. We want people to come out and see it. It's a great place to come for those things. But were they diehard Sam Talent fans? Probably not, some of them. But, man, that Thursday show was wall-to-wall fans, and he knocked it out of the park. And we're so glad that Sam is part of the Detroit comedy scene now. Talked about a little bit on the show last week. It was a great show last week. If you haven't, I mean, I'm always trying to get you to listen to this week's show and come out and see this week's comedians. That's why Genevieve's on. But my goodness, last week's podcast with Josiah in the studio. It's not even the studio. I moved all the gear into another room in the house so Josiah could sit on the couch. That was a great show. And Josiah's show on Wednesday that I was on was super fun. And we had a nice crowd show up for that one. I had 9 people come to see me do comedy in one room. That's the first time in a long time I've had 9 people. I've had more than 9 come out, but not in a while. So that was fantastic. And I think Josiah is just, what a bright future that guy has. Shout out to him. If you're listening, Josiah, you are unbelievable that night. And continue. If you keep doing that, you're going to have a real great career in comedy. That's my prediction. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's get into what's happening here on this show with Genevieve Clinton. She was a special guest on those Sam Talent shows. So this is kind of her second week in a row coming, but now she's officially the MC. I'm going to make a prediction here and say that might be the last time you see Genevieve Clinton as the MC, because she's that good. I think she could be coming in as a headliner in a year or 2 years. Just, you know, and she's somebody that made the move from Detroit. You'll hear her tell her story. She went to Dallas for a little bit, and then she ended up in Austin, where she is a quote-unquote, quoting her, a door guy at the Comedy Mothership. That's Joe Rogan's club. She's been featured on Kill Tony, and you'll hear about Kill Tony and our thoughts on that. She'll also talk about her relationship with, I believe it's her fiancé, Marcus Olind, who is another guy that I taught in my comedy class, and those two are having a great career. Great careers each. Marcus also out in Austin doing his thing. He's hilarious. And we'll talk about all those things. We'll talk about the difference between the Texas comedy scene and the Michigan comedy scene. We'll also explore a little bit about Genevieve's history of mental illness. She does a bit about it, interact, that I think is hilarious. And we talk about that because I have a family history of mental illness. I'm okay. I am an undiagnosed mentally ill person, probably. But yeah, and one thing about Genevieve, here's what I want to say about her. And I gave her this compliment on the show. But this is what I think, really, and I probably should have said this with more, you know, more emphatically. But you're really seeing a comedian who's improved so much and is now, in my opinion, a complete comic. They've got the persona. They've got the delivery. They've got the material. The way that they move around and command the stage is excellent at this point. Genevieve, the future is yours. Let's listen to my interview right now with Genevieve Clinton, and we'll have some thoughts afterwards. All right, guys, listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, I have a comedian who is coming back for another weekend. So 2 weekends in a row, Genevieve Clinton, we can't get enough of you at the Comedy Castle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So
whoever can put that gun down now.
No, I mean, look, you were a special guest with Sam Talent. You were not officially on the show. You were not officially paid to be on the show.
Yes.
Just by the club. I don't know. Hopefully Sam took care of you, but I don't know.
Yeah, special. No comic left behind.
No, exactly. And now you're here to do your official weekend this weekend with Brian Simpson. And yes. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I'm excited. He's super dope. Check out his Netflix special and everything else he's doing. Pretty excited to have him home in my hometown. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about you. You left. How many years ago did you officially leave the Detroit area?
It will be 4 years in April.
Okay. And you went right to Austin, correct?
Yeah. Well, first, a quick little 4 month stop in Dallas, Fort Worth area. And then I was pretty much kind of beckoned after that. Got to get on out of there.
Well, Dallas would not accommodating or wasn't your vibe?
Well, you know, 2021, everybody was trying to figure it out. Everybody like, you know, I know Michigan was like a little bit more particular, like some other places that were like, you know, figuring out regulations and stuff, masks and stuff, all the things. Texas kind of had been doing their own thing for a little bit prior to some of that back and forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some things are kind of rebuilding. But little did I know that a whole bunch of... Can we cuss on here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Little did I know that a whole bunch of shit was popping in Austin that I had no fucking clue about.
Yeah, it was right around that time, right? Yeah. Joe Rogan moved out there about that time. A bunch of comics.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you hear things, internet things. But, like, I know this probably going to sound really horrible, but like I wasn't all the way on their radar prior to moving to Austin. You know, Marcus Olin, he won Mark Really Easy Choice LA in 2018 and or Yeah, 18, 19.
He was one of those. Yeah, I remember him winning it. Yeah.
Yeah, when he went out to L.A., you know, a lot of people, you know, you think L.A., New York, that's it, you know, kind of, you know. So he was kind of telling me some of his time out there and, you know, and then I had a little bit of a stunt out there for like a month. And that's when I first kind of knew what a Kill Tony was or what was going on.
Yeah.
But even then, I wasn't like all in. I was just like, you said this is a mic. You said that's a mic. I'm going to do the mics. I'm going to do whatever I can. Time is time. I'm going to go where I go. But it wasn't until I was like, you know, I heard that show again is in Austin. We're in Dallas. I'm working at a paper company. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. It sucked, but they had nice coffee. like, at least they can give you at 6 a.m, you know? Yeah. but, you know, so I was just like, you know, kind of was like, fuck it, me, Justin Essen, Marker, and Marcus Olin.
Yeah.
I just was like, try it one day.
That was the crew. And you found quite a bit of, it sounds like you found quite a bit of success down in Austin.
Yeah, for sure. Just different community, like the community that I was getting involved in here, you know what I'm saying? Like all throughout Michigan. Michigan is, you know, big too. You know, not as huge as Texas, but it's like, you know, you learn things, and Midwest is pretty connected. Canada's right there. You know, you're kind of learning this stuff, but like Texas, just in the time it was, it was a melting pot because everybody who quote unquote was big in podcasting with comedy, stand up, or, you know, had like, you know, large names or whatever, they started to, you know, Ron White started to pull everybody down there with the Joes and the Tonys and everybody else. So, like, I didn't know all that was going on. I was just like, hey, let's go try to sign up for this damn show.
Yeah.
Try for a month in L.A., but we try here.
So let's talk about Kill Tony. I've not seen your appearance on there, but people were telling me that they knew you from Kill Tony when they saw you this weekend.
Yeah. So I've been on 8 times.
Oh, okay.
8 times in 3 years.
That's pretty good. I think they like
it. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's damn good, man. Like, it's opened up so many doors and crazy. Like, I'm a part of this whole, like, fan base and world now, even though I'm not, you know, like, the craziest staple, but once you in that bitch and you kind of, you know, they don't let it go. Yeah. You know how it's kind of like wrestling in a little bit. Like, they like the fan, you know.
They're loyal fans of that show.
They like my leotards, Joel.
they love comedy. I mean, they come out. You know, we had Cam Patterson a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
And he sold out 2 shows on a Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's. It's been crazy. Like, I didn't see his first Kill Tony, but just seeing him blow up and just.
Yeah.
How cool of a person he is off stage too.
Yeah, he was great.
He's so young to handling it well.
And I was skeptical because, you know, I hear, okay, Kill Tony, you're on for like a minute and a half, whatever. And I watched some of those with Cam and I was like, all right, but the dude's got to do an hour or 45 minutes or whatever. He was good for that 45 minutes hour that he did. He was very, very good.
Because the thing is, like, the way like Tony and like other larger names and community took to Cam, like, he already has so much like rawness. He has like some really good mentors coming up too that is also a part of the Kill Tony universe, David Jolly and them and stuff. Like, he just kind of had the right head on his shoulders coming in. You know what I mean? Just, you know, I don't know too much about his background or growing up circumstances or anything, but like, you can just tell, like, you know, when he got the call, he was like, I've seen other people do dumb shit. I ain't doing that. I'm going straight for the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm so proud. Like, you know, he was a door guy with us for like a very small time because he had to go forward. He had to, you know, do his thing. And I was really, it's beautiful to see.
Yeah. And then
somebody thought I was his mom once. That hurt my feelings. Hurt my feelings so bad.
Oh, no.
I mean, you must be so proud of your son. I am. I birthed him when I was 5.
Well, he, you know, his dad does travel with him. And his dad's older than me, so I don't think. But yeah, I mean, he's had a ton of success. So tell me about the mothership. Are you a regular there? What do you do at the mothership?
I am a door guy, and I guess you can say regular. I auditioned with about 30 to 50 people.
Yeah.
It was 3-minute audition and I was chosen and I'm one of the original door guys. Some people have come and gone in about a year and a half, which, you know, you expect and you hope and you're happy to see.
Yeah.
But I get a lot of love at Mothership, a lot of work at Mothership, but just I'm also, they're so, the way they're structured, they also allow you to kind of get more acclimated in the community as well. They just don't pigeonhole you, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, you keep your responses. They teach you, like, you know, it's kind of like, dang, I haven't had any, that many real jobs to have.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of a mentorship to being a professional comedian.
Yeah.
They do kind of the comedy store thing, right? Is everybody on the staff is a comic as well, or a lot of them, the door guys?
The door guys are the only comics.
Yeah.
And the regulars. The regulars, you know, they've been featuring and touring and doing their things where they, you know, don't necessarily quite need the door guy position or, you know, kind of move in order. But they're all cool because some of them have been door guys at the store. Mm-hmm. And so they give us a lot of, you know, tips and advice and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, because the goal is to graduate, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, watching everyone work is a great way to learn how to do it yourself. You know, and not that you're not talented going into it. But I mean, I know that for myself, watching everybody every weekend at the Comedy Castle.
Yeah.
Seeing some of the best. And I'm going to give you a compliment right here. Look, you were a very good comedian when you left Detroit.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
But what I saw this weekend was a different level, whether you know it or not.
Thank you. Like, yeah. It's the pressure cooker down there, man. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sharpens iron. That's what they say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Just a lot of fucking swords
work
around.
With good, funny people. A lot of swords. Yeah, I bet. You're with Marcus. Come on now.
Let me talk about swords. For sure. He's the one that lighted the you know, the torch or whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Marcus real quick. I mean, that relationship. I mean, he's been so successful. You know, he was the guy, Marcus, whether you know it or not, he took my comedy class, and I mention him in every comedy class that I teach, Marcus Oland here. Because he's a guy that went out and just did the work. He did the shows.
Yeah.
And I tell people that.
Not only was he able to take from your class and like experienced, you know, other comics and like apply it.
Yeah.
What has been so special to watch him like grow as well is that he's able to like repeat it, reteach it.
Yeah.
Like reinvest what he is learning to people. So many people like me and so many other friends that we went with and that we're making, you know, throughout. And like headliners are seeing it, clubs are seeing it. He's definitely showed me a lot of my earlier like ropes, and even now, like saying encourage and stuff like that and dealing with certain pressures and stuff like that. You know, he had a taste of it first. So it's like it's very dope to kind of have a partner, like, you know, like a partner in crime, you know?
Absolutely. I dated a comic for years, and that was the one thing we never talked about was comedy.
Are you serious?
It just ended up in a fight.
What did y'all talk about?
Well, I mean, no, we had a great, we had a very nice relationship. We dated for years. We're both comics. We do shows together, but there was not a lot of giving advice back and forth. You know, it was a little too much. People got very defensive, let's just say. Myself
were
included.
Same years?
No, I think that might be the difference between where you and Marcus are, because I was way experienced.
Okay.
You know, I was a working, you know, years and years in the business, and you know, the girl was less experienced.
I can understand how that is, because like a lot, I had to watch myself in the beginning too, because like, you know, if you're like, if you have that raw funny and you get laughs, sometimes you don't want to hear all the critiques of how to make it better. And sometimes you don't want to hear about your uniqueness and your rawness that you feel like makes you special. And people are like, okay, how about you refine it a little bit? Or how about you tune it in? It makes you feel like, you know, it feels like a small level of rejection. And it feels like, you know, you kind of, you never have to stop humbling yourself. And I feel like I'm about to have to eat these words in like 5 minutes. like you never have to stop. Like I have to continuously learn it in this relationship, you know, no matter what opportunities he get, I get. Like we had to sit and like, you got to root for that person. You can't be jealous. And it's like, if the team thing is supposed to be the team, if you both want to win, then it's like, I'm going to listen to somebody to know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's, you made it work. I did not. Mine's over. So I'm not, look, I'm getting married next year, and my fiance wants nothing to do with comedy. She barely wants to watch me do it. So
she's a fan though, right?
She's a fan. She'll come, there's comics that she likes. So when they come to the club, you know, she'll come out.
But it ain't all peaches and roses with us either. We get on each other's nerves, you know. You know, he's like, please don't be funny right now. I can't.
Me and my comedian girlfriend, if we were doing a show together when the show was over, it was like, hey, what's for dinner? You know, the show was in the past. It's over. Let's move on. Let's lead our lives. So, all right. Tell me about other differences between Detroit and Texas.
Well, I really, really, really miss the legal weed a lot.
Yeah.
And just the dynamic around it. But, you know, it's interesting because prior to like Mothership opening and stuff like that, you still, you know, you go into the mics, you get into the community, you learning about different bookers around town. In Texas, I ran my first show for the first time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't run a show here, but I got to like guest host sometimes and that kind of prepared me for a lot down there. And a lot of stuff was like running. It made me go back and was like, dang, I should have, you know, took more advantage of like having time running a show in a different pace like this. Maybe I could have developed some different things. But like, just taking a lot of, because I still stay pretty connected to people that's, you know, doing things around here and the clubs around here. So it's kind of like, you know, I've always, since I left, I was always kind of looking like when I got my show, I only had it for 4 months, but my whole thing was like merge. Okay, that was on my mind. Yeah, because it's like, you know, if they accept me and I'm just, you know, one funny person of a certain level, like, you know, the type of talent that comes through here in Detroit. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, there's legends that walk among us. There's untapped talent. There's like, you know, there's all types of stuff. So that was what my focus was on. Like, you know, these people love my Detroit and love my style and love me and Marcus and Justin. So it's like, you know, let's, you know, mix it up. But it is, it's a lot more Detroit people down there now.
Yeah.
That has moved down, like Darius Bennett, Rob Taylor.
Yeah.
Some people have come through and made a spark on Kill Tony, like Jacob Barr did crazy on the craziest.
Yeah, that was very funny. I enjoyed it. I watched that and it was great. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel like it's room to merge, but the differences definitely, I would say, it was culture shocks. For sure.
Okay.
it's still Texas, baby.
Yeah.
And I'm very much kind of come from like militant black Detroit ass homes.
Yeah.
So like, you know, some of the jokes that would get said on some stages and some of the stuff you had to really like, oh, you thought you had tough skin. Like, you know what I mean? But it's also been embracing. I had a lot of opportunity to work with, queer community comedy here and queer culture here, but it's like it's a big difference down there too, like with that, because you know, here it's more open, you know, you're in Royal Oak, we have Ferndale, like we have you know, like it's a big difference. Like Austin is a big pride city too.
Yeah.
Way different. Like I went to college and I thought I knew what party it was. The street that most of the clubs are on, on the famous 6th Street in Austin, like the amount of police presence they have to have just for, you know, people to walk back. It's crazy, but I love it though. Like I get recognized so much on the street and I'm not even a prostitute, Joe. Like I'm so proud of myself.
Slinging them jokes though.
You got jokes. About it, but I can't tell the jokes.
No, you got great jokes. And you know, look, the Kill Tony thing is a thing that, you know, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have even had, you know, YouTube as a thing wouldn't have made people like it does now. You know, podcasting has been around for about 20 years, but really only for the last 10 if people really elevated that and made a career out of it. So you're taking advantage of all that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, being dumb and saying yes works out for me. You want to go live in Texas?
Well, but I feel like just talking to you and listening to what you're saying is that you're just doing the shows and things are happening for you. I feel like some younger comedians, you know, people have been in for a few years, they're trying to make the thing. I want to be this, and I'm trying to make myself this. And then as you try to make yourself that, doors get shut in your face, or you get told no, and there's things that you can't get, and you get frustrated, instead of just doing all the things that are right in front of you, and that can really help you.
True.
Yeah.
Like, if you come in with a certain mentality, like, I know when I started, like, you know, you grow up as a kid attracted to all the funny things, all the funny people, and, you know, you got it in the back of your mind, like, maybe I could do that, maybe I'll try one day, and then the day you say, fuck it, like, and if it works out, you know, like, my first mic, like, I got laughs, I was like, oh, y'all done fucked up, y'all gave me laughs, like, addiction started, like, thank you, you know, like, got a whole new addiction, and it's like, it's more so chasing, that and just chasing the last, but you do form different morals and your own different guidelines and how to treat people and how you like to be treated and, you know, stuff that you learn and experience. But I do feel like if you came in like, oh, I'm the next such and such, trying to focus on that, like, you know, there's room in entertainment for impressions, you know, impersonators, but, you know, it's a little.
Yeah, people, I think, get into it and they go, I'm going to follow the blueprint of whoever came before you that you really loved. And then you realize that that model of doing it, you can't do it that way anymore. That's how they did it then. And you got to figure out how to do it now. And I feel like you're somebody that's doing it that way.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I have a question. Like, when you were, like, coming up and, you know, when people would say, hey, you kind of liken to a such and such, or you kind of remind me of the essence of such and such. Like, I would take that as a compliment, as if I'm, like, going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't look at it like, oh, they're trying to say I'm trying to be that. You know what I mean? Because, but I do take it as references, and, like, depending on the references that people throw at me, like, you know, I'll take it from there if I'm kind of going in the direction. Because, you know, I don't want it to seem like I'm just willy-nilly like that Jim Carrey movie, just saying yes to everything and everything. Just, you know what I mean? Working out. But you do, you know, I have been a large bit of a greedy bitch in this thing where I have to get to a lot of things where I look back and I'm like, you know, you could have left that $20 on the table.
You know, like, I mean, hey, I think every time you hit that mic, you learn something and it's valuable. And whether you know it or not, it shows up down the road if you're doing the shows, even when they're crummy, even when, you know, and I think that's the thing. And when you start to have success, I feel like you, where you're at, your shows are good. You know, I mean, it's like, not that you would ever not be a good performer, but you're putting yourself in front of audiences that are, you know, willing to laugh, and they're there because they want to laugh, and some people know you, and that makes it way easier.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're playing in front of, you know, I'd go on the road and I'd play in some of these places. They didn't even know comedy was happening, you know? And then they go, okay, comedy. You know, like back when I was around, I was like, oh, I like comedy. I like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
And then I'd hit the mic. And absolutely nothing like the guy that they love, Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah. And it was a problem for them. And a problem for me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I do sometimes, like, get in my head, like, as far as material. Because, like, I would say if I was to write every single thing I ever had, like, in use, I am close to an hour, like I want to be. And I beat myself up for taking this long to get to an hour, but everybody has a process. The problem sometimes that I run into is, like, you know, I do have this, like, funny is funny, but sometimes it's like, I'm not looking to be a martyr or, like, you know, the next Martin Luther King or anything, but it's like, sometimes it's like, in the face of just funny is funny and throwing everything against the wall, and, you know, sometimes you'd be like, I do care a little bit. Like, I guess that's why I'm not, like, big into roasting, even though, like, you know, off stage, if it happens, it happens. And, you know, I can take a joke, but, like, we kind of have to have a different mentality. And I guess, like, I'm learning to appreciate the business at large. And I do take the specificity, like, stand up very seriously, like that aspect.
Sure, yeah. What's your job?
Like, but yeah, but now, like, being open up to, like, a lot of different avenues is like, okay, you don't have to be, like, top flight in one area, because if you work on it, improve it, there's resources, but there's other aspects to open up with the heart in the foundation of stand up. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so just learning, and it's more so about the process of like turning stuff over quicker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and stuff that I'm happy where I'm at right now for sure though. Like, I've come a long way since, coming in second when I did the competition.
Yeah, the Detroit to LA competition. In fact, we have it Tuesday night this week. It's an early round. You finished second. Oh man, that's.
I was spoiled. I got to go to LA anyway, and I was just I was like, this is crazy, and. LA was different. I'll say that.
Okay. LA is different. I mean, I think one of the things is just so many people that, in a way, I would say if you're a brand new comic, I think LA is a horrible place to start in a sense. Because, what stage time are you possibly going to get? What shows are you going to get on? But on the other hand, if you got some experience by the time you get to LA, you can show up, and you know what you're doing already. That's an advantage.
And if you strictly have a heart for the competition part of it all, go ahead in LA.
It's hard. I mean, I know people go to LA and they have success and they end up doing, and then some people just it's not for them, and they'd rather be a big fish in a small pond, or the cost of living is too much on a comedian salary where you end up getting some crummy job you don't like. It's a whole thing. That can be a bump in the road. It's a thing that I never did myself because I was afraid of all of those things.
I didn't. When I was out there, I knew it was temporary, and I knew Marcus did all the stuff that he was awarded from the competition, and then getting acclimated in the community himself, all the people who run mics, the shows and things, and try to see how all the clubs work. But it's just like. Detroit just spoiled us in a very different way. And Austin just is a whole different experience. So I still haven't done comedy in New York. And there's a whole bunch of chains and clubs and, stuff on the thing that I'm looking towards. But I'm very, very, very grateful for my foundation for sure. Right.
Let me ask you this before we get out of here. You do a bit, one of the funniest bits in your act about being in a mental institution. And I'm not going to do the bit. You do as much as you want of it. I was dying laughing on that. Is that a true story? I mean, is that?
I guess you were. I guess you were being. You were able to be saved from a lot of the mental health issues I had before I left.
No, I did not know any of this about you.
Shout out to the Michigan and Detroit, Canada community for fucking with me when I was at my craziest. Wow. For sure. It got so much where it's like I was doing comedy so much and I, working anything, regular job, you got to sustain yourself and stuff. But it just feels like you want to put your all into it. And it's just so many unaddressed stuff. And entertainment and comedy, it can kind of be a hot box for emotions and high pressures and, that nervousness on and off stage and, all that kind of stuff. And you want people to like you and all these things, but you're real, you have issues, everything's not perfect. Everything's not a joke. Everything's not funny, And, shout out to people who get it, who understood, who dabble with mental illness and things like that. But I was in that bitch 8 times. Bro.
Really? Well, but I'm really proud of you for talking about it. And here's why, because people can relate to that. It is not uncommon. And even if it's not, I've never been in a mental institution. Okay. But through my young years as a young adult, my mother was institutionalized dozens and dozens of times. And I visited her and I could relate to your story. Even I've seen things and I've seen things that, are funny. In the mental institution, but they're not funny because it's a mental institution. You know what I mean? So when you own it and you tell people that, they're going to relate to it, and they're going to know if somebody's struggling that they can be okay. They can be someone where the lights are on them and having success like you are. Thank you, I think it's very inspirational to and brave of you to put yourself out there like that. I enjoyed that.
That's public record.
Yeah. Hey, you made it. Hey, you made it public record. And I think you're, look, you could, You could talk about, you know, the Taco Bell drive-thru and Tinder dates and stuff up there, but you're talking about your real life. And that's what audiences connect to. That's what you're supposed to do.
I appreciate it, man. I figured people's going to see the crazy even when I tell them how they feel. Like, you know, prepare you. But sometimes I learned that, like, in high intense situations like that, sometimes having a sense of humor can be the very best thing tool for you. Yeah. And sometimes it can be a kryptonite because, you know, mental health, you know, even though laughter is therapy, joy, you know, and jokes and like being able to find humor and things is a form of therapy and healing. And that's what we push and promote, you know, people going through crazy shit. We got a pandemic, bills, like you said, family issues, you know, everybody need to come and release. But when you are allowing yourself to go get, you know, and this sounds hypocritical because I need to be on top of my mental health a little bit better right now, too. But like when you are involved in seeking help and getting that, it's not always a laughter matter. And sometimes, you know, you do need to take something seriously. So it is kind of eerie combining the two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes I'm like, ooh, I hope people get it. But it's been, you know, it's been receptive. And, you know, I definitely have found that I'm not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. You are not alone. But you will be alone on stage this weekend at the Comedy Castle. And people are going to dig it. I mean, like I said, last weekend was those were some of the funnest shows. The whole lineup last week was terrific. And I mean, we've got Brian Simpson, Trey Stewart, I believe, is our feature this week. And Trey's been around, been with us many times. Another Michigan guy coming back home, and we'll have you opening. And it's fantastic.
Thank you, man. I'm excited to hang out with y'all again.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful last weekend. Let's do it again.
Yeah. And it's great to talk to you at length.
Yes.
Me and you. We just kind of pass each other and say hello.
Yeah, it's always like, hurry up, get your shit together. 5 minutes, get over here.
I think I'm nice. I think there may be a guy on the Comedy Castle staff that's not as nice. So I think when you see me coming down the hallway, it's probably good news versus somebody else.
Yeah, the other guy, I shared two tears with you was just one, you know?
Well, Genevieve, thanks so much for talking to me. I enjoyed this.
No, thank you, man. I'm excited to see y'all again this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you this weekend. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Genevieve. I enjoyed that talk. I really did. And again, Genevieve's someone I've known for years, and we have not had a conversation about anything substantial. And this show forces me to do that. And I think that's great. I get along with her wonderfully, and she's a great comic. I mean, really, after the show, so many people, after the Sam Talent shows, meeting up with her out at the bar, getting her merchandise, and just being friendly, and that's great. So thanks, Genevieve, for coming on and doing the show with me. And again, continued success. I'm really, really looking forward to a fun weekend of shows with Brian Simpson. Trey Stewart's our feature. And Genevieve will be kicking it off. So get there early if you want to see Genevieve. And, of course, follow her on her Instagram because she's got lots of stuff on Instagram, lots of shows coming up. She's got a link to her merch page where if you leave the show without getting some Genevieve merch, you can get it on her merch page, which is really cool. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up for this week. We want to check you out this weekend and Detroit to L.A. tonight. We've got shows all the way through Sunday. We had a show last night. It never ends. 7 days of live comedy at the Comedy Castle. We're just getting started. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.